Jennifer Zamparelli on 2FM.
Fueled by Frank and Honest Gourmet Coffee. The perfect blend to kickstart your day. Barista quality coffee available at Centra and Supervalue.
Now, the last time we had Alwyn Boyle on the show, she was on a mission to have a baby and was heading off to get herself some sperm. She joins me now for an update on her baby journey, which I'm guessing has become very, very challenging because of a global pandemic. Alwyn, how are you?
Hi, how are you?
I'm good.
Yeah, it's been a whirlwind.
Thanks for coming back on the show.
Yeah, well, I was asked and I said yeah.
Yes, yes, you were. Can we talk about the IUI for a sec? Because you were going down the IUI route when we last spoke. Can you just explain what that is for people who might not know?
So the easiest way I can explain IUI, it's the least invasive, and it's basically like going to Coppers,
right.
But they take out all the messy stuff within the man's sperm, and you just get pure sperm, and it's inserted into you just the same way as if you had been with somebody. So it's less invasive, and it's the simpler procedure, and it comes in around €1,000 before you buy your donation, and then when you buy your donation, it's another €1,400 if you go for like a golden one, like, because they're all different levels of MOT. So they say go for anything by 10 to 20 MOT, and that's just the quality that you're getting. So obviously you're going to go with the most expensive when you first try. So it's the most innovative, and it's probably just like if you go out and meet somebody, you know.
So Owen, you had your sperm. How did it go?
Unsuccessful.
Okay.
So yeah, it was hard. I suppose I thought the hardest part would be telling friends and family that I was going to do it. So I think when that was initially over, I had lost a lot of the stress of the whole idea. So I was quite calm going into it. And my parents and family were very supportive, and my friends. And it was unsuccessful. But look, you know, I had had a lot of complications at the beginning with I only had one follicle. My egg count was really low. I should have an average of 15 at my age. I'm 39 now. So I don't know how many I have this year, but I only had 7 to 8. So, you know, it was a risk to take, but they had advised me not to go down the IVF route at that time and to just give it a chance. So it was unsuccessful. And then COVID kicked in, and I just felt very detached because I couldn't go into the clinic anymore. And I'm very much, I need to talk to people. I'm very personal about stuff. So I kind of got detached from the whole idea. It became very business-like to me. And I just felt, you know, living on my own, now all my work was gone. Could I really take on all of this and feel like that I couldn't go into a clinic and meet someone face-to-face? And I wasn't able. So I just was like, right, I'm going to put it on the back burner for a little while. And I looked into fostering. I applied twice and I was unsuccessful. I was absolutely devastated because I had two spare rooms, and all I know was working with kids because of my jobs and stuff. I had my own stage school. I was a clown doctor in Crumlin, and I had the ability to help someone. So then I decided I wasn't giving up. I was going to start looking into adoption. So I'm presently I've applied to TUSLA to get my license to try and adopt. And I've decided, as I'm turning 40 and COVID is not going to go away in a rush, I'm also going to try IVF. I'm going to try one round of IVF. So that's what I'm doing all my research on at the moment.
Can I go back to the fostering for a second, Owen? So you have the room, there's nothing more than you want us to help kids. You work with kids in your stage school, you're around them. Did they give you a reason why you couldn't foster, or what did they say?
Well, it's ironic, actually. The first time I was refused fostering was that I had a job, and that if it goes to a family with two parents, that one person would stay at home. But my theory on that was, surely if we're going to foster a child, you want them to integrate into society as normal as possible. And not every family, a parent stays at home to mind a child. Granted, I had a full license. I had the space. Also, I'm self-employed. So everyone I work for knew that I was going for fostering. So I was well able to take time. Everyone was very supportive of me within my jobs, Terenure College and my stage school and the hospital. So I was really genuinely upset that they said at the first time that it was due to my work and that it wouldn't work out for me because of that. And
That is very sad.
It was actually really, I think it affected me more than actually the IUI, if I'm being very honest. Because of my job in Crumlin, I see the amount of children that need homes, and I had the space and I live in a lovely estate. I've got great neighbours, and I was devastated. And then I applied again when I lost all my jobs in last March with COVID. I applied about 2 months later, went through the whole process again. They had come out and seen my house and, oh, they were all guns blazing. And then I was refused again. So I rang and I was really upset and I was like, can I ask why? And this time it was because I didn't have a job. So, and I said, I really can't understand this. Like, and they were like, this is not a job. You can't see. I said, I never, ever thought it was a job. Mm. This was me giving my space. I do understand. Look, there's just so much stuff that I found out when I was going through the process that really, really, it really hurt me. And it really made me look into things and be like, God, what is our system doing? Like, these kids have nowhere to go. They've no home. Ireland is like, I know that they don't want to do domestic adoption over here, that they really encourage trying to get children into foster care and then get them back within the home. Now, I don't know sometimes why that's such a push here personally when situations can be so bad at home, you know. But they had said to me that it was working. And then they said that the money that you get every week, you get like something like 320 or something per week for the child that you foster. And they're like, that's not a job. And I said, but I never thought it was. I never saw it as that. That money was that child's money. Mm. And whatever I could give that child out of that money would have been that child's. And I said, I have my savings. I have my, you know, you can look into everything. And they were like, no. And I kind of fought it for a while. And I was at a losing battle,
yeah,
like a complete losing battle. And I was devastated. And then I was hearing things like, you know, foster parents still get the child allowance as well when a child is fostered. And I was like, that makes no sense. That money should be going into an account for a child. So I was getting more and more upset about that. So then I looked into adoption. So at the moment, I've registered with Helping Hands. I've contacted TUSLA again to get on their course for preparation and information courses to adopt. And, you know, like, I'm looking at like 5 years. Nothing's going to happen before 5 years, but you need to start now if you want to get anywhere before I'm 45, you know. But it's mad looking into that now. I would love to do domestic adoption. I always say we should help from home first. Mm-hmm. And it sounds like, from a lot of research that I've done, that they don't encourage anyone over 34 that's single, which makes no sense. Now, I can't clarify that that's an absolute like law, but it's something I heard, that it's very, very difficult, and that they make it very difficult for a single person to adopt in Ireland for domestic adoption, and that there's only been 3 still in the last 5 years, and they usually are adopted within the family that have fostered them. That's the information I've received. As I said, it's not come from TUSLA itself. Mm. It's just come from information of people who've already tried. So I've registered with Helping Hands, which is an organization down in Cork. I've done the stage one conference with them last week. It was 2 hours on Zoom, and they were amazing. They were so helpful. They were so kind. But it's all money again. Like, it was €300 for that. Obviously, when you do it through TUSLA, and if you got domestic adoption, there's obviously no charges because it's government funded. Mm-hmm. So once you step out of Ireland, then you're on to big money. So I had done my research, and I had said to the lady, she was like, have you researched? And I said, yeah, I want to go to the States. And she was like, okay, you're very certain on that. And I said, yeah, because in the States, you send a file over, and it's like, I'm the right mother. It's called something like a file like that. And it's all about me and my life and everything and my references. And the parents of the child pick you from those booklets, and you will always get a newborn child, and you go over to the States from 6 to 12 weeks, and you have to be able to go within 48 hours. So they didn't really have the prices on then, because they change all the time, and I swear, Jen, I nearly fell off the chair when I heard how much it was going to cost me.
So to adopt an American child, how much are we talking then?
Oh, Jen, you're going to be shocked. I literally nearly fell off the chair. I swear to God. It starts at €60,000. And on top of that €60,000, you pay Helping Hands €9,500 to do all your work. You need them. There's no doubt about it. They help you with everything and they're very helpful. And you do need them to do all the paperwork with you. And it can go up to, they have a record of it going up to over €90,000.
Shouldn't they be paying you 70 grand to take a child and give it the best possible start? That is just insane.
Yeah. And the worst part, you think that's bad? This is what really got me. Now, obviously, I would never have had that money. So it broke my heart. And I was like, this is just so difficult. Like, I don't know what is going on with my life. And obviously, there's no dating nowadays either. So you're not going to meet anyone. Mm-hmm. So I said to her, so what? Like, what's your guarantee with that? And she said, this is the thing about the States. There is no guarantee. They can ring you. And you have 48 hours to get on a plane and get over there before the child is born. If the mother is homeless and has children during her pregnancy, this is how the money escalates and escalates. You have to pay for her housing, her clothes and her food and her children's while she's pregnant, if she's from a homeless background, and her medical expenses. Plus, you also have to have a solicitor and lawyer in Ireland and in the States. You could go through all of that. And within the 6 to 12 weeks that they're in the United States, that mother can decide to take her child back at any time.
Okay, so that is not an option, Alwyn, really. No. That's not a viable option. What about other countries?
So because I'm single and because of my age, I only can go to 3 other countries. I can go to China, Haiti or Vietnam. And China is 8,000. I'll just give you a quick round. It's all on my Instagram. It's 8,000 plus the 9.5, and you don't pay it till you arrive, so you're not really losing anything until you get to the country. Vietnam and Haiti, you pay before you go. Vietnam, you have to do one trip and you can be in the orphanage for an hour. Once you've done the 5 years of all the paperwork, you go in, you meet the baby and you take the baby home. After an hour, that broke my heart. And she said, well, it's better than Haiti, where you go in, you spend 2 weeks with the child, and then you have to leave for 6 months to a year and come back. And I was like, what? So you've promised this child a home, and then,
you have to leave it and then think about it. Oh my God. So your heart must be broken, like on a daily basis going through this process.
Yeah, well, then I just decided, right. There's only 4 countries. I'm now down to 3.
Okay, go
I wasn't really keen on China because I didn't like their criteria. They're against mental health. They're against, like, I'm heterosexual, but they were against gay couples. They just had so much criteria that I was like, I'm not interested in that. Mm. So I went back to researching. I'm going to do IVF now.
Okay.
So at the moment I am going between Copenhagen and the Mary Infertility Clinic. With travel and everything now, you can't bring anyone with you either if you travel. The savings are about €2,000, but that's not including your flights and accommodation. So really, if you have VHI or you have healthcare, I'm VHI. So if I went to ReproMed or the Mary Infertility Clinic, I would get €1,000 back on VHI or ICSI. And you get 2 of those over a lifetime. I've used 1 on my IUI already. So really, you know, when you work it all out, like, you have to really sit down, and I literally have a piece of paper in front of me and I write down the price list, consultancy, IVF tests you have to have done, scans you have to have done, where you have to go, and how much you can do in Ireland. So and it's all consultations on top of consultations, and they're from 135 to 160 every time. Like,
do you have a ballpark as to how much you've spent so far on your journey?
I'm trying not to think about it, if I'm honest. I'm trying to just take it time by time and hope that I'll be back working soon.
Yeah. Oh my God.
I mean, that's all it is, Jen. Like, yeah. I'm literally just running out of time. And I'm not going to lie, I am so nervous about the adoption process now, because I had heard that, like, Tusla don't like you trying for a baby when you're going for adoption. To me, I do not understand that. I cannot adopt for a minimum of 5 years, and I have tried, I have failed. It is my choice whether or not I want to try again. If I got pregnant, I would be thrilled, and of course I would let them know, you know. But there's a lot of little things you don't hear about until people talk to each other.
It's probably unearthed a lot of really scary and frightening realities to you of that world. You know, you've gone down this path now. As a country, what approach should we take when it comes to single women trying to have a baby?
I do think we do need to look at, like, there's no time to look at anything now with COVID. Everything seems to be gone backwards, to be fair. But there's no sperm bank in Ireland.
No.
Okay. And I literally was like, if I've got friends who are single fathers, and they've either had a separation or divorce, or they find it hard to see their child, and you see the love that they have for their children. And I was actually only saying this to your producer, Anita, the other day. I was like, do you ever wonder, does a man not get these feelings that I probably don't want to get married? I probably don't want to, you know, have all that or rush into a relationship. I know they don't have as much of a time frame, but they must want to have children too. So could we open an organization where we all just share?
Like a matchmaking service for people who just want to be parents but don't want to be in a relationship. Absolutely.
Like, I think there's money to be made in this, because there's money for everything. You can't breathe in this system and they're charging for it. So, you know, it's scan after scan and blood test after blood test, and everything's 100 and 150. Mm-hmm. And if you sat down and start to add it up, you'll stop doing it. That's me.
Right.
If I started to add it all up, I would stop doing it. Yes, I am now sitting down and I'm doing comparisons on whether or not to travel, because I need to go quick because I'm nearly 40. But I definitely think there's an organization out there we can set for people who just want to be a parent but don't want to be in the nitty gritty of the horrible dating world to get there. There must be men out there, because I see these men that don't get time with their kids and they're devastated. And, you know, so there has to be men out there who want kids too.
Well, of course there is. Absolutely. And it's just like, we have fostering and adoption in this country, but it just seems to be so flawed. The system just seems to be so flawed. Yeah. And unfortunately, there's people like yourself and lots of people out there who just so desperately want to have a kid. And it's just making life so difficult for them to do that.
Do you know what kills you is you hear it all the time. Oh my God, there's so many children that need a home in Ireland. Like, there's so many. And then you're like sitting there going, please don't tell me that again, because I have tried everything. And I am very lucky that I have the support of my family and friends. It's like, I'm so lucky. I don't feel like I need a man to do it. You know what I mean? But unfortunately, nothing is working out that way for me. And I'd say, you know, I'm going to give it till I'm 40, and then I don't know what's going to happen.
You can have one of mine. Have one of mine.
I'll take them.
Take them. Do you think if you were in a relationship, good or bad, that relationship, it'd be a different story for you?
I don't know, because, you know, I suppose nowadays, when you think about it, most relationships are starting with people that probably have kids already and don't want kids. Or, you know, when you're hitting 40, everyone has a backstory, you know. Yeah. And I think it'd be very scary. Hi, I'm Alwyn, I want a kid. Like, I'm running out of time. I met you today, can we have a kid tomorrow? Yeah, so I don't know. I don't know if it would help it or it would hinder it. Would it put more stress on the relationship and it wouldn't work out? I don't know, because as I say to myself every day, every time I turn a page on this, it seems to change and it seems to be different. And even with the foster stuff, I could or the adoption stuff, I could apply, get my license. Once you get your license from TUSLA to adopt and go back to Helping Hands, all of the criteria could have changed could by change. The time that happened.
Yeah.
And all the prices. Everything she said to me is ever changing. I'm just giving you an example, she said, of what is here right now that is accessible to you. So there you go.
So what is next for you, Owen? Is it IVF, you said? Is that the next step for you in the immediate future? Yeah.
Yeah. It's going to be IVF or ICSI, depending on what the consultant decides to do.
And then you're going to set up a website, a matchmaking agency for single men who want to do this and single women who want to do this. Yeah, there are the steps.
Yeah, and someone's going to contact you and go, yeah, there is co-parenting websites. I think that, like, there's a website for everything now, but I don't think it's done properly. Like, I did Google it, like, and there is people who do it and they don't charge or whatever, but legally it has to be done properly, obviously, if you decide to do it. So
yeah.
But there's definitely men who want kids, and there's definitely men who don't want the hassle of a full-time relationship, and there's definitely women who are single who would happily do that, you know. And you never know, you could fall in love with the dad in the end. Who knows?
We need to connect these people, because the road you're on, just with the fostering and adoption, and it sounds impossible, Alwyn, if I'm being honest with you. It just sounds like it feels. I don't know where you get your amazing attitude and your determination. Is quite incredible. I'd be on the floor in a bucket faced with that. There needs to be more help. There needs to be more help for people like you who so desperately want to have kids and absolutely deserve to have them. I really hope your fortune changes in the next couple of months, and keep us posted. I wish you the very best of luck with your IVF as well. So
thank you so much, Jen.
Keep the faith.
Yeah, hopefully next time I talk to you, I'll have good news.
Fingers crossed. And for anybody out there who's feeling the same, let me know, 51552. Or if you're a man who feels the same, text me, 51552, or you can mail the show, jen@rte.ie. And you can follow Alwyn's journey on Instagram, Ollie's Baby Wish. Alwyn Boyle, thank you so much. And hopefully I'll chat to you soon with some better news, okay?
Thanks a million, Jen.
Bye, love. Bye. Bye-bye. Jennifer Zamparelli on 2FM.